You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. This week is the first week in our series, Begin Again, a study on the book of Deuteronomy. For more information and to visit us online, visit us at midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
It's about my sophomore year of high school, if my memory serves me correctly, that I started the process of growing my hair out long. I had to endure some of the awkward kind of shaggy phases along the way, but eventually I grew my hair out to the point that it was even much longer than it even is today. My parents always seemed pretty cool with it. In fact, my mom will tell you, like, yeah, she always liked it. Whether they liked it or not, my dad's parents, they always kind of looked at me with a smile on my face and said, like, yeah, we think your long hair is pretty fun, Sten. My mom's mom, we called her Graham. She, on the other hand, I don't think she was a big fan. I was with her one time, and somehow the topic of my long hair had come up, and she told me, I kid you not, and I still remember this to this day, it came up in conversation, and she looked at me, and she told me, one day you'll regret this. I thought, well, dang, Graham, tell me how you really feel about this. I don't exactly remember what I said to her in the moment, but I remember thinking to myself, like, no way. Like, this is not possible. This is so fun. I'm, you know, so cool. Never will I look back with regret. I love my long hair, and that will never change. Now, I know I still have kind of longer hair now, but I gotta be really honest with you, folks. I look back on some of the old photos with me with my hair at my longest, and I hate to admit it, but Graham, you were right. You know, there are certain photos in particular that I look back and I go, oof, not my finest hour. I will say this. I did meet my future wife during this experimental period of my life. So it's not all a loss, but I gotta say, I look back at some of these photos and I think, oh man, I wish I could have like a little do-over. You know, I look back and I go, man, I wish I could pretend like some of these years never happened. Unfortunately, they did happen, and there is obviously evidence of it all. And so most of the time, I do my best to put some of those awkward years behind me. I try to pretend as if they never happened at all. Does anyone here ever have some moments from your past that you'd like to forget? Okay, there's some hands going up, right? Maybe it was a bad hairdo. I don't know. Maybe you did the perm thing or the big bangs out front. I don't know. Maybe it was something else. Maybe there was some mistakes that you made in your past. Maybe there was a season of loss or of pain or regret. I think the reality is we have all had experiences like this in one form or another. So much so that various phrases about forgetting the past have become very commonplace in the world today. We say things and we hear things all the time, like, you know, you put the past behind you. Don't dwell on the past. We say leave the past in the past. We use all sorts of analogies that talk about, like, you know, the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror for a reason. We hear all these kinds of things. We use phrases like turning a new leaf and letting bygones be bygones. In the world of sports, which is where I end up hanging out a lot, right? We are encouraged all the time. Athletes are encouraged to have short memories when it comes to some of the mistakes and some of the, you know, poor performances on the field. Shake it off. You know, athletes are told over and over again. No matter how you slice it, right? In my estimation, we are bombarded all the time, every single day, with so many messages that encourage us to keep our focus forward, right? Eyes on what's to come. And in many, many, many instances, in many areas in the world, that's great advice. Shake it off, short memory, right? Keep our eyes on what's to come. But what if I told you that the exact opposite is true when it comes to God's call on your life and the best of what God wants for you and even what God has in store for you next? What if I told you that the past very well might be the key to the future and whatever step forward you are about to take? What if I told you that the past was the key to the future? And I'm not talking about past regrets, and I'm not talking about past mistakes. I'm not talking about past haircuts or, you know, lack of haircuts. I'm talking about something entirely different. And so if you'd like to know what part specifically of your past just might be the key to your future, then I'm glad that you are here today, because that's exactly what I am going to try to uncover for us today. We are starting a brand new series today called Begin Again, and it is going to be a study for the next 4 weeks. It's going to be a study of some of the major themes in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, that name, it's ultimately two Greek words smushed together. The first part of the word comes from the Greek word deutero, which means second, and then nomos, which means law. Okay, so when you put these together, the name of the book Deuteronomy is a reference to the second time that Moses taught God's people God's law and instructions and commandments. God's people are ultimately known as the nation of Israel. So Deuteronomy is a collection of Moses' address. It's the second time that he delivered and taught God's law to God's people. Now, you may be sitting here asking yourself, why a second time? What's up with that? That's a great question. So to get us going here, let me zoom out just a bit and give you a little bit of an overview and a very quick summary of the history of God's people. For generations prior, the nation of Israel, they were slaves in incredibly harsh conditions in Egypt. And they cried out for God's help. And God heard his people's cry for help and for rescue. And so God raised up a leader. His name was Moses, to rescue them and to deliver them from slavery in Egypt. And so Moses is the one, if you read through these stories, Moses is the one who brings these plagues on Egypt. Pharaoh, as a result, ultimately finally agrees to let God's people go. Then Pharaoh changed his mind and chased after God's people after he had let them go. And that's when Moses parts the Red Sea and all of God's people walk across dry land just in time for the waters to come crashing in on all of Pharaoh's army. Soon after, Moses goes up to the mountaintop and comes back down with God's commandments for his people and his recommitment of the promise that God has given his people for a land of their very own. And it's at this point then that God does, with the help of Moses, he leads his people on a journey ultimately through the wilderness toward this land that he swore he would give to them. The problem is, to summarize many, 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 many years all at once, the problem is that God's people are perpetually rebellious, and they turn their back on God, and they turn away from God's teaching and his instructions for them. And as a result of their own rebelliousness and their own disobedience, their wandering, their journey through the wilderness lasts for 40 years. Meaning that an entire generation will never get to enter into the land that God promised for them. So now you fast forward to the book of Deuteronomy. That's what we're going to be taking a look at for the next 4 weeks. The next generation of God's people is now on the doorstep of the promised land. I mean, like so close, they can practically taste it. They are so close to finally claiming this amazing promise of God's to them. And so what happens is Moses delivers to them what is essentially a big giant sermon, which is the book of Deuteronomy. If you thought my sermons were long, just be glad that they're not the length of entire Old Testament books of the Bible, okay? It's the book of Deuteronomy. It's a giant sermon from Moses to the people. And the point of this big, long message is to call them, this current generation, to call them once again for a second time to faithfulness and to obedience to God's instructions to them for life in the future, for life in the promised land. And so the first three chapters, if I just kind of glazed over those quickly, the first three chapters, Moses for his people, this is his big sermon to God's people. The first three chapters is Moses ultimately reviewing history, reviewing the nation of Israel's history. He's reviewing for this generation the history of the previous generation and their journey through the wilderness. And he highlights the people's their people's rebellion, which led to the delay of their entry into the promised land. He then recalls some of the great victories that God led his people to, and he reiterates the assurance of the promised land for the next generation. And then comes Chapter 4, here's how it begins. You can see on the screens behind me. Verse 1, Moses says this to the current generation who is on the doorstep of the promised land. He says this, "And now Israel," he says, "listen carefully to these decrees and regulations that I am about to teach you. Obey them so that," listen to this, "so that you may live, and obey them so that you may enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving to you." Okay, he's saying, look, gang, you guys are so close. He's saying that the promised land is just around the corner. So he's going, I'm going to try this again. I'm going to do this one more time. He's going, didn't totally work for your parents and for your grandparents, but he's going, I'm going to try this again with all of you. Here is what God is asking of you. Not so that, he can control you, not so that he can ruin all your fun, not so that he can just, come up with more reasons to slap you on the wrist. No, he says, listen to all this stuff. He said, I'm going to do this one more time so that you may enter the land and so that you may enjoy this life that has been given to you and promised for you. I think that if Moses were speaking to some of you today, he'd say, look, gang, you got some good things going right now. I think he said, hey, God has some great things in store for you just around the corner. And so if you want to experience the best of what's in store for you, here's what it is. I'm going to lay it out for you. Here's what God is asking of you. This is his message. This is how he begins his message to God's people. He goes on to say to them, if you read the next verses, which I'll skip over, he goes on to say, don't add anything to it. Don't take away, anything from it. Don't subtract from it at all. He then reminds them of one of the most recent times that God showed up for them in a pretty stunning fashion, right? An event, things that they witnessed with their own eyes. He reminds them of it. And then we get to verse 9. And this is what I want us to see. This is what I want us to read. This is what I want us to think more about today. This is what any of us who are wanting to take a step forward in faith into the future, into what God has in store for us next, this is what I think we need to know. Coming in verse 9 here, this is what I think we need to know about how we do that best, how we take a step forward in faith toward what God has in store for us. Moses says this to them. He says, but watch out. Be careful never to what? Forget what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live, and be sure to pass them on to your children and your grandchildren. He's saying, gang, things are looking up. He's saying the future is bright. Good things are coming your way. Just don't ever forget what your own eyes have seen when it comes to God's faithfulness to you in your past. He says, don't forget. You want to take a big step forward? Great. Don't forget what God has done for you in the past. And it's important for us to understand here that the forgetting that Moses is clearly worried about, he's not just worried about like memory loss, but rather what he's concerned about is God's people failing to live in light of God's repeated intervention on their behalf. Okay. Forgetting how God showed up. This is Moses' point. Forgetting how God showed up for his people time and time again is to be living as though these great and awesome moments of God's goodness never even happened in the first place. This is what he's saying. Do not forget. He's not just worried about a memory loss thing. He's saying if we fail to live in light of God's repeated intervention on our behalf, it's as if this stuff never even happened, and we can't do that. And so Midcurrent, here's what I want you to know today about whatever is or might be next for you. Here's what I want to say to you, that you cannot step forward fully in faith until you learn to look back. Okay, I'm not talking about looking back at past mistakes or past missteps. I'm not saying, you know, taking a look back at the last moments of regret from your life. I'm not suggesting that you just, you know, hold on to, you know, the good old days. That's not what I'm suggesting. But what I am suggesting is that God's people, for those of us that are following after God with everything we've got, for God's people, we cannot ever, ever forget God's faithfulness to us. You cannot forget God's faithfulness to you. I'd say it like this. If you do not take the time to remember God's work in your past, you may not understand God's way for your future. They're connected. They're related in a way that we've got to remember as often as we can, right? If we do not remember God's work on our behalf in the past, we may not understand God's way for us going forward. Faith is not like a what have you done for me lately kind of arrangement where we just go, life is only good and God is only good as what's here right in front of me. If that's our understanding of God and how faith works, that it's only as good as the very present moment right in here, I'm afraid that we might be, it's possible that we would just be perpetually disappointed at how life does or doesn't shake out for us. And so we have to understand, folks, that our hope for the future, our hope for what's next, our hope for the next step forward that we take, it is always built on a foundation of what God has done in the past. We have to understand this. In so many areas of your life, you will be encouraged to have a short memory. And as I said before, most of the time and in so many places, that's great advice. But I'm afraid that in your spiritual life, I'm afraid that this kind of spiritual amnesia, it will limit your ability to move forward confidently in faith into the future that God has in store for you. Looking back, this is what I'm telling you, this is the first step forward. It's a little counterintuitive, but the first step forward has got to be looking back at God's hand at work in your life. It is key to any new ground that you may want to cover in your life or faith. Preserving the memory and the stories of God's faithfulness, it is and it always will be a central theme for God's people. Moses is getting at it here in the second part of that verse I read. He says, hey, don't forget what you saw God do with your own eyes. And the second part of it, he says, make sure to pass these memories on to the next generation. He says, pass it on to your kids and their kids after that. The very same thing played out at yet another of the most one of the most significant moments of Israel's journey to the promised land. It was their crossing of the Jordan River. They got to a certain point where the promised land was just on the other side of the raging Jordan River. And so in faith, God's people, they dipped their toes into the water. They waded into the river, and once again, the waters split. And it created a path for God's people to walk across on dry land to continue their journey to the promised land. And when they got to the other side along the banks of the river, they built a stone monument. 12 stones they stacked up as a little statue. And here's what their leader at the time said of this monument. He said, in the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? And then you can tell them, they what? They remind us They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Mid-current, I do not think that you can move forward fully until you learn to look back and to remember what God has done for you and for your family. I don't think you can move forward fully until you remember God's faithfulness, until you learn to retell the stories and stand upon the past evidence of God's hand at work in your life. Preserving and retelling the stories and the memories of what was, I think, is central to what could be and what will be in your life. Just a few days ago, I was eating breakfast with my daughter, Lucy, who just started sixth grade. And I know that at the end of the day, you know, all things are relative. That's a pretty normal thing, going fifth grade to sixth grade. I get that. But she's our oldest. And so for us and for her, it's like a big new world. It's a big new transition. I mean, for starters, she's up at like 6 a.m. in the morning, more than 2 hours earlier than she was up in fifth grade, right? So that alone is like, yikes. Okay, on top of that, I mean, again, this is our first time doing all this stuff for us, for her. Everything is new. You know, school's bigger. The schedule's tighter. You know, she's trying to, you know, do life and friends and figure out the whole middle school, lay of the land. She's doing cross country this year, which is incredibly new for her and adds like a whole nother level of exhaustion to what is already like a really long day. And so just this last week, we were up together at 6 a.m. We're eating breakfast at our little, you know, kitchen island. And I asked her, it's just the two of us sitting there. It's dark outside. We're getting ready for the day. I asked her, I said, hey, Luce, I said, you're a couple weeks in. I said, how's it going? I mean, just like full on dad mode. I wanted to know like everything. I wanted to hear about it all. I mean, switching classes and in the locker and, you know, friends and lunch and the after school practice. I wanted to hear it all. I said, how's it going? This is a big new deal for us. This is a big new stage of life for you. I want to know, how's it going? And she looked at me with a smile on her face and a confidence that was kind of neat to see in her. And she said, it's going really good, Dad. And I said, man, that's so awesome to hear. I said, Lucy, this is a big transition. And I said, you know, you're handling it with so much grace and so much maturity. And here's what I told her next. If I'm honest, I don't quite remember if I had all this stuff in my mind yet or not. But here's what I told her next. I said, Lucy, that's so awesome to hear. I said, remember this feeling. Remember this feeling so that the next time there's a big transition, the next time there's a new experience, the next time there's a new season in life for you, and there will be, there always will be, I said, remember this feeling now so that you'll remember you've got what it takes. I said, remember this feeling so that you'll remember that God was with you then, that God saw you through this moment, and he's ready to do it again. And I share that little window into our life with you because in a lot of ways, I believe the same is true for all of you, right? You might be in the midst of a pretty big transition for you, like some kind of new transition to life. You might be on the doorstep of a new adventure or a new opportunity or a new season in life or a new stage in life or a new career or a new job opportunity or some kind of new challenge that's right in front of you. And you might be wondering if and how you make it through, if and how you can take that next step forward. And so here's what I would say to you. Do every single thing that you can to take a long, deep, hard look at any and everything that God has ever done for you. Search diligently, scour the history books of your life for any evidence of God's hand at work in your life. Recall as best you can and relive and retell the stories of God's faithfulness. That exercise, that practice has been a trademark of God's people for thousands of years. And so I want us to be people who pick up the baton and follow their lead. Now, here's what I'll say. It's not a guarantee. I mean, I do believe that a step forward for us depends on how well we can look back at the evidence of God's work in our life. But here's what I'll say. It's not a guarantee that if you do this, that, you know, whatever comes next is going to play out exactly the way that you hoped it would. But I do believe that it can give you the confidence to move forward in faith, to take that first step to whatever it is that God is calling you to next. I do believe it's going to give you the confidence to say, you know what, God, you did it once. Can't predict how it's going to go, but I can move forward confidently that you will be with me again. We've got to hold on to these memories for our sake and for the sake of all who come after us, the next generation, for years to come. Now, before I close, I just want to say one thing. You might be here today thinking to yourself, you know what, Sten? Like, you don't really know me. You don't really know my life. You don't really know what my past has been like. You don't know the hurt, and you don't know the pain, and you don't know the loss. You don't know the hardship that I've experienced time and time again in my life. You might be saying, hey, I can take a good, long, hard look at it all, but I'm not sure that I'm going to see the hand of God at work in my life. And if that's you, all I would say to begin is this: man, I'm sorry for the life that you've lived and for the past that you have maybe endured. I might still suggest gently that God has been present for you in maybe ways that you didn't recognize at times. But even still, if that's hard for you to come to grips with, if that's hard for you to see, I understand. But I will still today, I will still encourage you also to look back. You'll just have to look quite a ways back, 2,000 years back, to be exact. You just have to look back to a hillside known as Golgotha, just outside of Jerusalem, where a sinless man was crucified on a cross to pay for your sins and for mine, securing for us both a place in paradise with our Creator for eternity. Talk about the promised land. That man's name that was hung up on that cross, that man's name was Jesus, and he was sent from heaven to this earth on a rescue mission for you. And I would suggest to you today that despite what has happened in this past of yours, I would suggest to you today that perhaps that moment on that hillside 2,000 years ago, I would suggest to you that perhaps that alone is the greatest piece of evidence of God's hand at work on your behalf that might help you to trust God's way for you with whatever comes next. And if you have never said yes to a relationship with that Jesus, if you have never accepted the gift of grace and forgiveness and eternity that Jesus made possible for you on that day, I want to invite you to consider that today. And if that's you, here's what I'm going to do in just a second. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to ask you, if this is you, if you're saying, you know what, Not sure I ever have accepted, but I want to today to accept that gift of grace and forgiveness and eternity. I want to say yes to Jesus and to what he has done for me and made possible for me. If that's you, I'm going to pray and ask you just to repeat to yourself silently this prayer with me. So right now, let's all bow our heads. And if today's the day you say yes to that invitation, pray this prayer with me. God, my life may not always be easy, but today I can see and will acknowledge that you still have been good to me. Thank you for your faithfulness to me, even when I didn't deserve it. And thank you for your son, Jesus, who paid the penalty that I did deserve. And today I say yes to a relationship with Jesus and yes to your gift of grace and forgiveness to me. And for everyone here, God, would you help us to be people who look back, who learn to look back at the evidence of your work in our life in order to move forward in all of the ways that you desire for us and have called us to. Give us eyes to see more of you in our everyday lives. Help us to remember deeply the stories of your hand at work and help us to retell and relive and recall those stories regularly for all who will come after us. And we pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Midcurrent is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin.